look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back here at the Public House. When I see this fellow in front of me, I only think of good things with the San Francisco Giants. Bruce Jenkins is with us. Bruce, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Marty?
Very good. We've got Cody Ross here with us, so you and I can chat with him. And Bruce, when I look at Cody, I just think, my God, the 2010, everything went right for this guy.
I think that's when people realized what the Giants had going. He got game one in Philadelphia, the NLCS. Roy Halladay's on the mound. And Cody hits two homers off him. I mean, that just stamps him as a great Giant forever. I mean, he did a lot of great things, but that particular day just said so much about where that team was heading. And that whole series, I think a lot of the guys on the team remember that as fondly as anything. Even the World Series, because so much of it happened in Philadelphia, and it was just epic stuff.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it.
And you bet.
Great to see you, Marty. And
Adam, you met Adam and Allie, and you met Carmen, too.
Yes. That was incredible. I tell the story a lot. I faced Halladay a lot, and he always had my number. He had everybody's number, let's be honest. Yeah. He was probably the best pitcher I've ever faced.
Wow.
And he, I'd always tried a lot of things. I tried to, hit the ball up the middle, stay up, hit the ball the other way, but nothing ever worked. So finally I'm like, you know what? Forget that. I'm just going to try to hit a homer. And sure enough, I did it, and wow. And then the next time I did it, and it was... just an incredible experience and time in my life.
But, as I said, Bruce, when Cody came over, of course, it was a waiver claim. And the Giants sort of put in to stop you from going to San Diego. How about that as a part of baseball history, Bruce?
Well, yeah, I mean, just so many great things happened. They pick up Pat Burrell, and at the time, people were kind of shrugging, going, "Well, this may or may not be great." It turns out to be just invaluable, like just crucial to the whole cause. And those are the kinds of things that happens when you're going well. And of course, we're not seeing a whole lot of that today, but the memories are always going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. We picked up, I think, Javi Lopez then too.
Yeah. Ramirez.
I mean, it was. The front office did just an incredible job. I mean, it could have easily went sideways, but for some reason we all came together and bonded so well together and played for each other as opposed to ourselves, and it was just a unique team.
You remember your first game here in the outfield?
Oh, yeah, I did. I missed the ball.
And remember that?
Everyone was booing me. And no, they weren't booing, but it was like... I mean, this outfield, I tell everybody, this is the toughest outfield to play in the big leagues.
Why is that?
It's just so big, and the wind blows so much. You don't know which way the ball's going to go. And I mean, you saw last night with the wind blowing, and Posey. I mean, that ball's so hard to catch. And it's like that in the outfield. You'll think it's going to go one way, and it goes the other. And so you just have to really be on the balls of your feet out there at all times.
Boy, Bruce Jenkins with us. Cody Ross is here. So it's quite a celebration this weekend for you guys. What's it like getting together with the guys you haven't seen for a while?
It's great. To get the guys back together and just talk about stuff like this, like what we're talking about, just remembering things that maybe you forgot. It's just a special time and just – I'm loving every second of it right now.
Going back to that series in Philadelphia and the Halladay home run, I think for sports fans and historians, there are moments in history that everybody, you remember where you were when it happened. I think for Giants fans, because it was 2010 and the first one, we all think about that home run. As I was at my cousin's wedding. We were all standing in the bar instead of watching the dance. Is that something you've reflected on as far as the major moment here in San Francisco and what it meant to us as fans?
I think so. I think everything leading up to that point, because Philadelphia was, everyone was talking about them, how great they were. I mean, Roy Halladay threw a perfect game against me in that year when I was with the Marlins.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they were just the team to beat. And for me to come up there and do that, I think it just kind of, I guess for the fans and everybody, just kind of gave a little bit of excitement for everybody. I remember watching the video after and seeing the guys in the dugout. I mean, they were just as surprised as I was, and I hit the home run, right? So, I don't really think – I think a lot of people had a lot of expectations, but it was about you know, just being in the playoffs and being in that moment. But I don't know if we really were, I mean, I'd say we weren't obviously favored. We were the underdog. Yeah. But, you know, it was just amazing.
Bruce, go ahead. You can jump in.
Well, I mean, it was a tone setter. I mean, it was like, you know, Sandoval hitting a couple homers off Verlander in the World Series. You just step back and go, oh, my goodness. I mean, that all of a sudden, you know, it becomes a predominant thing. It's like the Giants have a serious upper hand here. I mean, they lit up one of the best pitchers in the game twice with the same guy. It's like there's a little magic dust in the air here.
Right. And, you know, another thing, too, is those home runs wouldn't have mattered if Lincecum wasn't absolutely dealing.
Right. I mean,
I said this yesterday on the radio. I'd put Lincecum up against Holiday all day, every day that year, because that's how much we believed in him and that's how good he was. And I mean, without him, we don't get to where we were.
Yeah. What about Matt King? Go ahead.
Oh yeah,
Bruce.
I was just going to say, is Lincecum going to be there today?
No, he's not. No. I wish he was.
Did you recognize Brian Wilson?
You know, I was here opening day when he ran out of center field, and I'm like, who is this guy running at me right now? I'm on the field. I'm like, what is going on? And he gets to the mound, and I'm still looking at him going, who is this? Because, you know, his beard's gone. And anyways, it's so good to see him and talk to him. And I mean, he's one of those guys that he'll go dark for about, you know, 5 years, and then he'll resurface, and then we you know, talk for a while, and then he'll probably go dark again for another few years, and we'll probably see him 2020 whenever we have a 10-year.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, that last game in Texas when he that final strikeout of Cruz to end it. That stadium is going to go away. It's kind of a shame that next year is the last year the Rangers are going to play there,
oh,
and they're building up, you know, a real fancy, probably too fancy, you know, retractable roof park, and I don't know. I just, you know, that park in Texas. It was all about that's what Texas is like, you know. It's warm, and it was a pretty. It was a nice ballpark. I kind of hate to see it go away, especially because what you guys did there.
Yeah, me too. You know, I grew up a Ranger fan because I grew up in Texas and watching those games, and that's a shame. I actually didn't know that.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Next year is it.
Yeah, this is a Globe-like park. Globe-like park.
Okay.
Globe Life.
Yeah. Globe Life Park.
Globe Life Park.
They won't miss the name, but they'll miss the park.
Yeah, Globe Life Park, and the new one is Globe Life Field.
Okay. Oh, well.
How about that?
That's a shame.
They can't get rid of Globe Life.
Yeah.
All right, Cody Ross with us. Cody, and again, a couple of names from the 2010, Uribe, Renteria, the home run that he hit in Texas. I mean, there are just so many iconic moments, and Texas is here. You know, here
incredible.
They are this weekend.
Freddie Sanchez. I mean, he had some huge hits in the series, and you know, Aubrey Huff, I mean, when he laid down that bunt, the guy had never bunted in his life, and all of a sudden he lays a bunt down. I'm on second, and I'm going, whoa, what's going on? Like, I'm freaking out. Like, why is Huff bunting right here? And, you know, and then I get to third, and then Renteria hits the homer, and I can feel that moment, just the way it felt when I saw that ball go in the air, and I knew it. And, you know, just for it to be him, I mean, he's such a great guy, and in that moment, and it was just, it was
incredible. Go ahead, Bruce.
I was going to say, when the A's won the 1989 title, now it's coming around to spring training, I did a piece on all the little things that happened that made that team great. And you run down every single guy, and somebody did something that you remember. And it's the same thing with you guys. I mean, you know, Freddie Sanchez. Yes. You know, he did some huge things. Andres Torres, I mean,
Torres,
yeah, yeah. You just go on down the line, and Aaron Rowan. I mean, everybody did some very crucial, exceptional things. And that's what makes a great team. That's what always does.
You're right. And you talk about the bullpen with, you know, Javi getting a huge strikeout against Howard, and then, you know, I felt too. And then, I mean, just every guy just,
yeah,
you know, it was incredible. And then Wilson comes in and makes it, you know, torture.
Bochy couldn't miss. Every guy he tabbed, it was the right call. Did you guys feel that way too on the team? Did
Absolutely.
You feel like every call Bochy made was going to be the right one?
Yeah, 100%. Every time he, I mean, whatever he said, I mean, I remember he had some team meetings, you know, during the playoffs, and, you know, it was like we were listening to Jesus. I mean, whatever, you know, that's how it felt. Like, it was like he's like the guy that we were sitting there in awe, like, listening to him, because everything he said was, you know, pathetic, and it was just amazing.
Boy, you know, we had the little dust-up with Hundley and Puig last week. You know, we had the little pushing back and forth.
Yeah.
It made me think, since you're here today in 2010 in the Philly series, the Phillies were big favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Bruce? Huge favorites over the
Oh, yeah. And I remember Kruko saying how sort of cocky they were before it started, and the Giants noticed that. Just little things, you know. And that just made it all the sweeter. I think everybody around baseball thought the Phillies were going to win that series. I mean, they were absolutely loaded, and the Giants were just coming on. And who knew about you guys, you know? But, man, that was the tables were turned in a massive way.
Yeah, the professor who says hello to you, Ron Wode, who says hello today, always said about that series it was like a boxing match where you guys just hit the Phillies in the jaw. And they never recovered.
That's
how you do it. That's how you knock off a superior-looking team.
It's tough when you go into their place and you beat them game one against their absolute horse. I mean, it had to knock some wind out of their sail a little bit and go, whoa. All right, we're dealing with something here, so we better step up.
And they'd won back-to-back pennants. They'd won the series in 08, and they'd gone up and lost to the Yankees in 09.
They were a dynasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got Oswald, too.
Oswald, yes.
Yeah.
He was one of
that was a good team, wasn't it?
That was. Yeah. I mean, Oswald, after I hit those couple homers off Holiday, he threw one first at bat, up and in. I mean, knocked me down. And I was like, all right, man, I see what you're trying to do. And then I took it deep again and kind of gave it a little hop.
I love it. So last week we had the Puig-Hundley thing, but it made me think of you guys with Jonathan Sanchez and Utley. How about that?
Yeah. I mean that's what playoff baseball is all about. You know, all the emotions are running high. And, you know, Utley and Sanchez had a little bit of history there. I was actually pretty upset. I was like, oh, boy, you know, I didn't want to wake them up because we had already, you know, had beaten them a few times there. And here they go. We're getting to a little squirm. But, you know, that's part of baseball and that's part of playoff baseball. Everyone, like I said, everyone's emotions are at the highest, and that's what it's about.
Well, the best moment was keeping Affeld in the bullpen.
I was going to say Mark Gardner is a big hero there.
Really?
Right? Yeah,
really?
That's true.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, it was huge keeping him there, and then he came in, and you know, the core four just took over. Yeah, pretty good. So, what's new with you?
Yeah, just hanging out in Scottsdale and enjoying being home with the family and the kids, coaching Little League and my T-ball and just chasing after them.
But I want to tell you this. There's so many former major leaguers living in the area down there, and so many are doing what you're doing. This Little League or T-ball thing must be like the major leagues of managing.
It is.
You know?
It is. At one point, a few years ago, on one team, we had my kid, Aaron Boone's kid, Matt Hergis's kid, and one other guy in it. It was like a combined group of, you know, ex-major leaguers, and it was pretty neat.
You teach them to hop off the tee.
You mash
one off the tee. You teach them
to
one knee hop. There you go.
Flip the bat.
Yeah.
What do you think about the game today and all the things that are going on with the game today?
I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I don't think I would have made it in this day and age. You know, but here's the thing. Every sport's evolving. You know, everyone's getting bigger, faster, stronger. The statistics are becoming a huge part of it. At some point, if you're a fan, you just got to embrace it because it's not going to change. You know, it's not going to go back to old school, like, you know, no shifting or anything like that. It's here to stay, so you just have to enjoy it. You got to deal with it. And I can't say I'm a huge fan, but it is what it is, and I'll just continue to keep watching and enjoying guys, you know. And, you know, I'm a believer that the reason strikeouts are up so much is because everyone throws 100. It's not because everyone's trying to go deep. Everybody throws 100 miles an hour. Of course you're going to strike out. You know, everyone's not just trying to go deep. Everyone's just throws way harder. Back in the day when I played, and, you know, even before that, guys were throwing 90. A really good one was 95, you know. So it's like, now that everybody coming out of the bullpen is throwing 100, you're going to have way more strikeouts.
A guy like Ray Black, who a few years ago would be, it's just a revelation.
Oh,
it's just
absolutely.
Not all that uncommon now.
Yeah, now it's like, it's just Ray Black. He throws 100.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
You know what I was thinking also, just one other thought on Strickland. A couple of years ago, Strickland was an anomaly.
Right.
You know, wow, Strickland's coming in. He can throw 96, 97. Now he comes in. He's another guy.
Yep, he's another guy throwing 100. It's crazy. It is truly incredible. That's the game. That's the change now, though.
Well, great to have you here. I appreciate Danny Dan for bringing you out.
And thanks.
Enjoy it. You got a Q&A coming up or whatever, I know, with the fans. So it's look, it's always great to see you.
Thank you.
You always look like you can play.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, I could if we played football schedule once a week.
There you go. Yeah.
It's the everyday stuff that I can't deal with.
Well, Bruce, parting comment for Cody?
Well, I mean, if there's no room for Cody Ross in today's game, then they should just shut it down.
Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, Bruce, you want to hang on for just a second? Cody,
yeah,
thanks
sure.
so much. All right. That is Cody Ross. He's going to take off here. Boy, Bruce, it's interesting. Danny, thank you.
We'll get more information here we may be getting.
Thank you. All right, good. This is fun. Look, I love live radio out here on the patio.
It's happening. It's live.
When these things happen.
We'll do it live.
Danny Dan did a nice job. He's going to try to bring Matt Cain out here next to chat with us, so that'll be good. Bruce, that 2010 team, it was just the beginning. It was opening the door, you know, to what was some four or five magical years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, when you think about, you know, we've talked about so much of it. When to think about having Lincecum, Cain, and Bumgarner,
right.
You know, this is what the Giants need to have now in the future. They can't really repeat that, but with the team they have and the ballpark they have, the pitching is so crucial. And that's, you know, to talk about this year's Giants, I'm sure you've been talking about them too much over the last few days. But, you know, the rotation, everything that's gone wrong with the rotation has just really hurt this team. And you think back to the pitching that went on then and the those four relief pitchers, it was so reliable. Everyone knew what was coming. You don't get a stinker out of these guys. And that's so, so crucial. Yeah, you know, that team, they hit a lot of big homers, but it wasn't one of the, you know, the real power-hitting teams in the big leagues. The Giants really are never going to be like that in the park that they play in, I don't think. But it's very precious, and it was really just the start of a great run.
It's kind of funny, Bruce, don't you think, that Cody Ross was out here with us for about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, and we didn't really talk World Series. We only talk about 2010 and that Philly series. It's kind of like 51, Bobby Thompson hit that home run. Nobody remembers the Giants ended up losing to the Yankees after that. But I don't know. It's like that series was the championship for the Giants.
Yeah, that series to me stands with all of them in all of the 3 years. For achievements, you know, memories, specific moments. There's so many of them. And, and again, the fact that a lot of it happened in Philadelphia is just priceless.
Yeah, and they were special players. The right age at that time.
Yeah.
Baseball was played that way at that time. The steroid era was coming to an end, so you could pitch your way into it. And they had exceptional players, and I think that's the bottom line of it. And that's the kind of team you want to get back to, players like that.
Yeah, exactly. I was just watching some of the highlights last night. There's a guy from the Cardinals named Harrison Bader.
Yeah.
One of those guys who plays with his hair on fire.
Right.
That guy is so exciting to watch. His great catches and runs the base. He can fly. He's got power. Yeah. He's just, like Sabian mentioned, that the team is not dynamic. Well, this is what dynamic means. Guys like that, and you know, it's not to mention all the great young players, you know, Acuna and Soto, and there's so many of them all over the big leagues, and that's what they need. They need to get more dynamic, for sure.
Yeah, I believe that. One last thing, we'll let you go. Happy to have you on with Cody. I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah.
A lot of chatter these days about maybe shortening the ballpark, doing something with Triples Alley. We're getting more sentiment with that, because Bryce Harper won't want to come here. He can't hit home runs. No free agents want to come here. Even Sabian referred to it. You think Bruce will ever go that way?
Well, you do that, and Harper's going to hit 3 home runs. In the next series, Freddie Freeman hits 3. Well, you hit 1. I mean, nobody ever talks about what the other teams, how the other teams are going to cash in.
Yeah.
This is one of the true fair parks in the big leagues. You go, there's so many bandboxes. The Yankee Stadium's a joke. Cincinnati's a joke. Fly balls are sailing out of the yard. That's not baseball to me. Baseball is more authentic in the Giants Park. And, you know, if you hit it good, it's going out. I mean, Joey, not everybody's Joey Gallo, but, I mean, you can hit home runs here. The whole thing about bringing the fences is a joke to me.
No, I totally agree with Bruce here, because other teams come in and they don't have problems. I mean, ask Will Myers, ask Arenado. I know these guys are power hitters, but that's the point, is power hitters don't have problem hitting for power almost anywhere.
Right. And it's only going to hurt you from the opposition standpoint because they're going to hit more than they already do.
Right.
And so, you know, where do you go with that? I mean, if all of a sudden the Giants had a bunch of guys, I don't know, like the guy from Milwaukee, Aguilar, these guys who are just belt home runs, you know, that's, yeah, you might think about it, but that's just not Giants baseball. It's not the way it happens.
No, and that's not who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to have to go through an identity crisis here and figure it out. I think this winter is a huge challenge, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, about Posey's injury and how you plan for next year, not knowing what he's going to do.
Well, that is really tough. I mean, you talk about 6 to 8 months. If it's only six, you're still into February.
Right.
And if it's 8 months, you're into the season. I mean, it's a huge deal. I mean, to me, I can't see Posey being a full-time catcher. And if he's not going to do it full-time, you don't really want to do it maybe half-baked. You know, it might be the time where he goes to first base, and then you really have to trade Belt and see what you can get for him. And that's an awfully big move for the Giants to make. I mean, Posey, for all the lack of power and people get on him for this and that, he's been absolutely invaluable to the pitching staff for all of these years, and you won't realize it until he's gone. I feel the same way about Crawford. You take away a great defensive shortstop and put an ordinary guy in there, you're going to get a lot of Crawford nostalgia if you don't make a hell of a deal there.
Yeah.
So the Posey thing is really, really big, and I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine him coming back as a full-time catcher.
I agree. Boy, good conversation, Bruce. Thanks so much, and we'll chat with you tomorrow.
Okay. Look forward to it, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Bruce James. Very good.